something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT,
we reminisce on 30 years of much music.
We tell a story about dirty hotel room antics.
And we play a brand new game called Canadies, coming up right now on TNT.
Hey, how are you, Jonathan?
Jeremy Taggart, I feel like we can't sit on this throne of lies even a second longer. We have to come clean with the people.
Yes.
Tell them we had a bit of a mishap.
We can't lie. I blew it in a sense.
There's no I in Taggart or Torrance.
Yeah, I didn't realize that I had an issue with my microphone, and turns out after the fact, a day after the fact, actually, I went to listen to the files, and they were dead. Nothing. Not one little blip.
So just to tell the people how we record the show, we each have what's called a laptop computer, and we each have what's called a mic with what's called a USB input.
Yes, very
and
simple.
And we record the files separately. We send them to our friend Tim in the Arkells, and during his downtime, which is less and less these days because they're doing so great,
yes.
He marries the two sets of files. So maybe someday when the show gets huge, we'll release my side of the episode, and in a kind of fan fiction thing, folks could write your side of the episode and see if it gels.
Oh, yeah, and vice versa. You could have like a mashup version of Taggart and or
insert
Torrance,
your name here, yeah.
And Torrance with anybody out there. And perhaps when the success starts to flow and the numbers are flowing, we can actually have a legitimate contest.
That'd be fun.
It would be. It was a really simple episode in terms of we didn't really have a lot of different things happen. But I'll tell you what, there was some things that happened that were just very exciting and hilarious and so funny that we'll try and get to those topics the same way, but you can never recreate certain things. It's like when Jimi Hendrix actually, I think it was Electric Ladyland, he had the tapes, and he was in a cab. He tapes the mixes of Electric Ladyland in the back of a cab.
Gone.
And he got out, and he left them in there, and he never found them again. They had to redo the record, and he felt just could not recreate the magic the same way, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do, and I'll tell you what. The second recreation is pretty damn good.
Well, I'm sure you can almost hear the cab driver saying bunch of hippies leaving their garbage in the backseat of my car and just chucking it.
For sure, because you never really heard from what happened to them. But anyway, we're going to attempt a recreation, but we're going to take it up to another level.
Because this is the other interesting thing. We're recording in the middle of the day. If we're being honest with the people, it's Labor Day, and we normally record at the end of a long day. And it's hard to always be up. So we're really fired up about this. I always think when things go wrong from a technical standpoint, there was a great CBC journalist by the name of Joe Schlesinger.
Oh,
I sat beside him on a flight once, and we were talking about, kind of mishaps and stuff. He was summoned to the Vatican to interview then Pontiff John Paul. It was one of those, like, can you go interview the Pope and get back? I can't remember what the story was at the time, but it was a biggie, as you might imagine. And he gets back on the plane, hits go on the tape to start transcribing his interview with the Pope. He had forgot to press record. Forgotten.
Whoa.
Yeah. So anytime, like, a little thing like your mic didn't work happens in the bigger picture, it could have been an interview with the Pope. That's about the worst. Like, I can't imagine being his friend and trying to say, well, yeah, I mean, it could be worse. That's about as bad as it gets.
No, it does not get any worse than not press and record with your interview with the Pope.
Speaking of the Pope and CBC, there's a great Peter Mansbridge story when the Pope died and he was being laid in state, I guess is the term for it.
Yeah.
Mansbridge went to Rome. And like a lot of the great news anchors from around the world, he was ushered to the front of the line and given a private audience with the Pope. When he kind of, you know, looked at the Pope laying in state and said his respects and then left the room, and his phone started blowing up. And it was the guys at the newsroom back in Toronto saying, you're not going to believe what happened. This is amazing. Long story short, on CNN, They had a wide shot of the Pope lying in state, and you see Peter Mansbridge walk in and sort of peek around looking at the Pope lying there. And I don't know if it was Wolf Blitzer, but whoever says, and the president of Poland now getting a private audience with the pontiff.
Yeah. That's what he hits him with.
Was that total mislabel.
Was that like a guess by Wolf there?
I guess. It was a Hail Mary by the Blitz.
Just a bad, like a bad coverage of some analyst right there. Doing sports and just like getting the wrong guy.
Wrong guy.
Wow.
Not even just kind of the wrong guy, but that's a big wrong guy.
Have you seen a picture of the president of Poland?
No, but I'm guessing he's a similar, hirsuted gentleman.
And maybe we could like to see, maybe it's... like, if it's really bad, this just makes Wolf look a lot more funny, which is even better.
Well, Peter Mansbridge is really funny and doesn't get many environments where he can show that because he has to be taken seriously as a credible broadcaster. But he tells a great story about he's in Ottawa going to cover some news event. And he gets pulled over by a cop. And the cop walks up to the window and says, Peter Mansbridge. And Mansbridge goes, yeah, it's me. And... the guy, the cop, says, we were in Boy Scouts together when we were kids. And Mansbridge is like, no way. So as the cop's writing up the ticket, they're reminiscing about this and that. And the cop hands him the ticket and goes, by the way, Peter, what are you doing now? Recognized him from Cubs, not from being the chief correspondent of CBC News.
What are you doing now, Peter? Nice.
Yeah, what are you up to now, Pete? I haven't seen you in ages, bud.
Wow. Oh, man. So I've been doing this shift from 8 to midnight for the last 25 years.
Right, but you probably wouldn't have seen it ever.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, Barbara Frum, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Remember Barbara Frum?
Yes.
Talented journalist. Here's the thing. I like that our heads are stuck in the 80s a little bit, and we have a game coming up later on the podcast called Canadies, where we're going to surprise each other with a few tunes from the 80s, and we have to guess... what the band is. I'm going to tell you something. You know the old expression, when the Lord closes a door, he opens a window. I am secretly glad that we're redoing this podcast because last time we did it, I was actually in a hotel in Halifax. And I was very self-conscious that I have a high nasally voice, as you might know. And I thought it was cutting through the gyp rock to the people in the rooms on either side of me. So I feel less restrained this time.
Nice. You can let it flow.
I can let it flow. And ever since, have I ever told you the story, what happened with me and Canada's Trailer Park Boys at a hotel in Toronto?
Oh, that's a, let's hear this one. I have heard this, and this is probably one of the top five stories you've ever told me.
It's a dandy.
This one, and this one, it just sits behind the Indiana Jones Harrison Ford story, which we have to tell at
also
some
good
point.
We'll tell that at some point.
Yeah
But this is, and I'll just classic. Have to preface it by saying this is not slander, because it's all hearsay.
Totally.
So I'm traveling with three guys, Ricky, Julian, and Bubbles, to Toronto from Halifax for, I think it was the Puma golf tournament that we played in the same foursome at.
Yes, that's, I believe, when I hit you with the Robert Wagner.
Indeed.
Yes, and you hit me with the Fathers of Confederation.
Yeah, right.
And this is in reference to our hairstyles.
It was love at first diss.
This was kind of like, okay, that's pretty good company. I will not forget this guy. And actually, Mike Smith was always the one to say that, Torrens, man, you got to meet Torrens because he does this stuff as good, if not better, than you do on calling out someone like in public and like to your friends, like, hey, doesn't that guy look like...
it's
blank.
My favorite game.
Yeah, and Smith would always tell me, like, Taggart, you gotta talk to Torrens, man. You guys would just go off and off.
Well, I think it's because we don't have the delete button.
No,
in
for
our heads,
sure, but
it's all this pop culture stuff.
We have a very solid, we have a good vocabulary in terms of the references, for sure.
The Canadiana, especially. Tom Green used to do a bit on his cable show where he'd walk up to people on the street that looked like people and say, like, hey, Tom Brokaw, or hey, Colonel Sanders, and it always cracked me up.
Yeah, for sure.
So I fly with the three guys, and I think it was one of those, like, it's a morning flight, and by the time we get to the hotel, it's not time to check in yet. And the hotel was place where the guys always stay. It's not in the best neighborhood, but it's a really nice hotel in Toronto. And it was one of those, like, the rooms aren't ready, but we can give you one room if you guys want to stash your stuff and go out for the day. And then when you come back, the rooms will be ready. So we get the keys to one room and we head up in the elevator. We walk down the hall and go in the room. First thing we see is like woman's high heeled shoe, a tank top, some denim trousers on the floor, maybe a bra. And the room was a 2-story open concept number with a loft bed.
Was there any cocktails around?
No.
Like no bottle of wine?
Not that I remember. Yeah, like a empty bottle of rosé.
Yeah.
You have to remember it was late morning.
Okay.
So we see a gentleman's posterior going kind of up and down at the top of the stairs. And a head pops up, and it's one of the dudes from one of Canada's most well-known bands. I won't say who, out of fairness.
I love it.
And he's like, hey, fellas. And the four of us are standing shoulder to shoulder in the door going, hey, bud. So I don't know if his vantage point would have been funnier or ours, but it was kind of this standoff of what do we do? Do we leave our stuff here? Do we back out? Do we stay?
It's the Trailer Park Boys and J-Rock, too. Like, that's just the boo to take it up a notch. Like, hey, bud.
Hey, bud. He didn't even seem phased, for what it's worth. He didn't seem phased. He was just like, hey, fellas. So then we kind of try to have a nonverbal, like, do we still leave our bags or what do we do? So we kind of backed out Tim Conway styles, like shuffling our feet backwards. It felt like an hour. It was probably 25 seconds.
Yeah.
And we went back down to the front desk and explained the gaffe. But in the hotel job list of don'ts, that's got to be near the top.
Oh, man, that's so funny. I've done that where I've gone into rooms that were booked and there's been people in there, but that is just a whole new level.
Not since Passengers Snow and Too Tall.
Did you ever see the guy again?
Well, yeah, so we've seen him a few times over the years, like each of us or all of us at different things. And anytime anyone even lands in the area code of, hey, bud, do you remember the... He's like, nope, no idea what you guys are talking about. And I don't know if that's the bro code or denial, but this is a unique looking individual, and it's not like he would have doppelgangers around town. Hey, do you remember that? Nope. No, I don't.
Because when you said, hey, it was like, hey, guys, like, nice to see you, because it's definitely, the, you know, recognize and hello.
That's
and
the thing. Well. That's the thing. He wasn't sheepish or apologetic. It was just like, oh, hey, you guys are late. If that isn't rock and roll Canadianity, I don't know what is.
That's absolute. It's absolute. I've done that where I've gone in and like I've had the Norman, you know, like the woman waking up, like she's in bed.
How many hotel rooms have you stayed in over the years?
Well, 21 years worth of touring. Yeah, not lots.
What is what is the item in a hotel room that has the single most other people's DNA on it? Do you know?
Got to be the remote.
Correct. Yeah. And when you think about why that is, it's really disgusting.
Exactly. Yeah.
Howie Mandel allegedly travels with a fresh set of sheets and tongs. And the first thing he does is peel the sheets off and replace them with the sheets that he brought from home.
Yeah. Because you know when you're touching that remote, you're pushing old load.
Wow. I just need to sit down with that phrase for a minute and let it wash over me.
Careful, son. Why? You're pushing old load.
Oh, dear.
Wash that out.
Dad, what does that mean?
Just get the washcloth.
Well, what you should do is get a pair of plastic gloves like prep cooks use at Salad Bar. And just wear those the entire time you're in your room.
I've seen the remote, like, with, like, you know, the big residue.
Wow.
You know, I'm not kidding. Well, you asked when you stay in that many hotel rooms. Doesn't matter. The more high-end is the hotel room, the more chance that that's going on in there. Because the guy's just throwing down on that stuff. No sweat on the pornos.
Hey, think about this for a minute. I was at one of Toronto's premier hotels, and I got talking to the concierge and said, so you're pretty much like, you're on call for anything ever. And he said, yeah, doesn't matter day or night, whatever people need, we have to go get it. If it's a cucumber or it's a Kia Sorento. So I said, what's the weirdest thing you've ever been asked for? He said, well, honestly, it was a roll of saran wrap and a liter of maple syrup.
Whoa. What's going on there?
He could only guess, but it was an adult film producer who was asking for said items, and he thought it might be to be used in some type of simulation.
Some Canadianity porn is what that was.
Yeah.
Wow.
Go fig, Newton. Hey, let's take a break. We have all kinds of 80s stuff to talk about, including the 30th anniversary of Much Music, some of our fondest memories, and a brand new game called Ken 80s, still to come. Stay with us. Welcome back.
So I was turning around the old dial yesterday and having some reminiscence moments with Much Music. They're turning 30.
Hard to believe.
30 years of videos, and now more, I guess, content involving Tosh.0 and the like, and comedy and the odd video, but still an institution that is recognizable of probably our most important cultural icon, the Much Music, in for music. I mean, if you weren't on Much Music in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, you weren't selling records. That's just the way it was.
Like, as a band, could Much make or break you?
Absolutely. I mean, if they weren't playing you, you're not going to go anywhere. I mean, unless you have some other means of selling, you know, getting to the masses. But if you weren't on Much Music, you just couldn't do that. And they were everywhere. It was like...
Well, I know as a kid...
The equivalent to CBC across the country. Like, if back in the day, that was how you got information. And for music, that was how you got music, was Much Music, no matter what. Because they played terrible music, and they also played amazing music. So it was made sense that that's where you went to get that.
Remember, like, the main video play was one thing, but, like, French Kiss with Natalie Richard and Life on Venus Avenue with Ziggy Lowrank. Even the new music... As a kid growing up in Charlottetown and then Halifax, that was my first exposure to Toronto culture and what went on there. And it seemed like, at least in the early days, the VJs came from a musical background. Like, in recent years, one of the weird things about TV now is that the names of the networks are kind of misleading, like CMT shows America's Greatest Home Videos or whatever.
Yeah.
And Much Music shows, like, kind of tween dramedies and dramas and stuff.
Yep.
Much, you used to know what you were going to get when you tuned in there. It was kind of wacky antics coupled with, you know, interesting music.
Well, it had like a purely music and creative feel. And, you know, it wasn't all perfect or great, but the fact that if you were a kid that had ambition in music, and the doors were open to those type of people, and all the VJs that were working there kind of would have the opportunity to produce and do everything themselves, and you know, making these shows that ended up being watched by hundreds of thousands of people and worthy of great stuff, just kind of working under this umbrella, under a small scope in terms of financial, how much you can do, but in terms of what you can get to the masses, I mean, it can make you look at, you know, Rick Campanelli and George Strombolopoulos and all the people that have come through those ranks and gone other ways. If they are credible and have ambition for the right reasons, they all have done so well through it.
Man, history will dictate, if it doesn't already, that Moses Zenheimer was a genius. He was the City TV Everywhere guy, and he was had the first notion of videographers, and they're reporters, but they also hold cameras, and that Much Music would be an environment, and it would be at street level, and they welcomed people in the background banging on the windows and stuff. Nowadays, that's like kind of a given. Every newsroom practically has that kind of aesthetic.
Yeah.
But at the time, that was so groundbreaking and outside the box. Even Speaker's Corner, the idea that you could go plug in a quarter and have your say, that was bananas.
Did you ever do Speaker's Corner?
No, I never did.
I did.
I always wanted to do Speaker's Coroner, like with cadavers.
I did it.
Just because, you know, I go a long way for wordplay.
I did it a couple times, like after music awards shows one time.
Did you make it on the show?
No, one time it was with, I think, Jag from My Mother Earth. And I wasn't drinking, but I was kind of caught up in the idea of being hammered because it was after partying and everyone was drunk around us. And
yeah.
We were just kind of like making fun of people and, you know, talking about who we were hanging out with. And actually, this is class. I think it was somebody at Much Music had the class to call, reach out to me and say, hey, we've got this. We could put it out, but, you know, we're asking you if this would be cool or not. Like, because you guys kind of said a lot of stuff. And then we're like,
it doesn't reflect on you in the best way.
Well, yeah. In a sense, so we just said it'd be great if you could just bury it, and they were like, "Okay, cool," and they did. So that's pretty nice of them. That definitely wouldn't happen nowadays, that's for sure.
So who was the first wave? Steve Anthony, Erica M. They were the first, right? Christopher Ward,
Michael Williams,
who co-wrote Black Velvet. Michael Williams, yeah, of course.
Of course, I think Tony Young was in there, Master T for.
Was he there right from the get-go?
From pretty early. I mean, you got to give him... he's got to be close, that's for sure.
Bill Wilichka?
Bill Wilichka was a little later, yes. And then you had the second generation.
Your Amanda Walsh's?
Oh, yeah. Lori Brown, wasn't she on there? She started there.
Did she? I thought she was a CBC guy.
She went first, I thought, through Much Music.
By the way, Amanda Walsh, friend of both of ours...
Yes.
A really gifted comedic actor, really one of a handful of people that genuinely cracks me up. I find her really funny.
Very funny.
A lot of folks don't know, was cast in the pilot for Big Bang Theory and then didn't get to play that Kaley Cuoco role when it went to series. That's got to be a bit of a weird thing for her.
It does. It's totally weird because she would have been great in that role as well because she's that funny.
Unbelievable. Sure. Yeah, she really is.
Crazy.
I remember the first time I saw George do the new music, and so credible as a broadcaster. And it's interesting because obviously the Rogers hockey coverage is about to start, but on the surface, Strombo and Ron McLean don't appear to have much in common, but they're actually very similar broadcasters. And as far as being able to convey a lot of information without a teleprompter, without tripping over their own voices.
Yeah.
But I don't know how that's going to shake down. Is Don Cherry going to be on with George?
I think it's going to be Ron and Don still doing their thing.
I do believe
they're going to be together. I would assume that George would kind of take the role of throwing to them and back and forth to everybody else the way Ron used to. You know, how it would kind of, he would continue on and be there beforehand. Also, that Jeff Merrick is addition. I do believe Jeff will kind of take the part of what Ron used to do as well, when he would go through the different panels, but have that kind of analytical mind as well that people can relate to and want to, you know, he can kind of soften the blow of what a lot of, you know, intellects will throw at him in a way that's very similar to what Ron McLean kind of used to do. So,
right.
I think there's a lot of talent. It's incredible how many people.
Oh, there's like 49 people. But I broke the bank, and this is probably the last year for games at Rexall Place in Edmonton. I've never seen a game there. So I broke the bank. I went on the StubHub, and I bought tickets for the home opener against Calgary.
Really?
Battle of Alberta, yeah.
You're going to Edmonton?
Yeah.
When is it?
It's October 9th.
So you're just
going to. My birthday is October 2nd.
So you're flying to Edmonton for that.
Well, I'm actually going to Yellowknife for the Peter Zosky Invitational Golf Tournament for Literacy.
Wow.
But it times out that I can stop by Rexall on the way home.
How the heck? That's going to be a little chilly out in Yellowknife, no, at that time of year?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Have you ever done that before?
I don't know if it's like Canada Goose time, but It should, as if memory serves, it should be good for the Northern Lights and stuff.
Oh, for sure.
Anyway, that's so off topic. We were talking about Much Music and yeah, the early
But we really got into some great stuff. But yeah, much getting back to Much Music, we have to get to that next generation that brought us into now, which kind of went from a transition that happened in the 90s from music-based coverage to more media and pop culture coverage. That kind of happened in the last 10 right. years.
It kind of happened in the world too.
Yeah,
like not, and I think not just in Much Music.
The fact that all of the media outlets kind of combined, and it just became about getting numbers and trying to get people to watch, and that's when videos kind of waned, and we had comedy and satirical dramedies, as you said, carry the weight, and I guess that's how it's been going since The Hills and all that other stuff changed that.
Right. I remember, like, speaking of the early days of music video and stuff, remember Sam Taylor on Video Hits?
Yeah, that's
and Stu Jeffries on Good Rockin' Tonight.
Yep, those are two classics right there. Those were after
in
school.
In Halifax, Mike Campbell lives here of Mike and Mike's Excellent Adventure.
Sorry, Mike Campbell is always a great time. I've been to his house, his little back patio parties.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
He's great.
He owns a bar here in Halifax. It's actually a listening room called the Carlton, and he brings in some heavy musicians and stuff. Bar does pretty well.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike and Mike was kind of a short blip of a show, but that was imagine that gig. That must have been fun.
Must have been amazing.
I do believe we should redo that in another form with you and I.
Oh, man, TNT.
TNT sure. Doing Canadianity across the country.
Here we are in the Paw, Manitoba, pounding Subway sandwiches.
They would be all, or in, you know, in like Newfoundland, hanging out in St. John's.
Yeah.
Wow. It
would be amazing. Well, Jay and Dan got to do that with the TSN tour and stuff. That must have been really fun when you see folks showing up with signs. We did a Jonovision tour in the year 2000, and it hadn't occurred to me before that anybody beyond our studio audience even watched the show. It was really exciting to see people show up and want to see it and want to talk about the show.
I think people would like to get banged up around us on 3rd Street.
Well, you know what we should do? We should get Sam Taylor and Jeffries.
On George Street. That's the big shakedown takedown.
In St. John's, yeah. Yeah.
And what's the one in Halifax? They have the big summer.
Argyle?
Yeah, that we could probably shake down there. That would be nice.
There are a bunch of dry humperies on that street where people go to shake it till
late. No, the big summer festivals. Do you guys still, does Halifax still have that kind of summer festival on the
you
hill?
You guys must have played Concert on the Hill a bunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they still do that?
I don't
know
if we have Concert on the Hill anymore.
Oh, man, that was incredible. That
was a great Halifax staple, and so was Mardi Gras. That was a big Halifax staple on Argyle Street, but I don't think they do that anymore either.
I know, but and again, we're veering away from Much, but let's get back into some 80s Canadianity videos.
Well, let's get back to when Sam Taylor was suddenly gone and Brian Elliott was at the helm of Video Hits, and all of Canada was like, what the clam is going on here? Fortunately, Dan Gallagher came along and relieved Brian Elliott of his duties.
And Dan
Remember
Gallagher.
That dude?
Dan Gallagher was amazing. That guy was a
host of Test Pattern on Much Music.
A sweetheart of a guy, and
just a pet,
a gentle guy, but also liked to party pretty good too.
Yeah, he liked to pound some frozen soldiers.
Yes, yeah, and he was a legend, but massive. Like, if people don't know how tall he also was, he wasn't just a big guy, but he was just a super tall guy, and always like that smile. He'd greet you very, very John Candy-esque.
And the laugh. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I remember I was working on Street Synth at the time, and my friend Brian Heighton, who plays Ken Pompadour on the show, we wrote an episode, and it all hinged on Dan Gallagher being available to be in our episode in a kind of cameo role. And there were some tense weeks where I was like, oh my God, do you think we could get Dan Gallagher? And finally word trickled down that Dan was in.
Nice.
And by gum, he was professional and nailed it. And just a very kind human.
Hey, Jonathan.
Yeah.
Let's play this game after this break.
Take a break. We'll be right back for Canadies. Don't go away.
Where's my beer chair?
Welcome back to Taggart and Torrens. I'm Jonathan Torrens.
And I'm Jeremy Taggart.
So we're going to play a game called Canadies. And it's very simple. We're going to take turns playing Canadian songs from the 80s. I guess next week we'll play Canindies. It's only when we're in the aughts that it's going to get weird. Canaughts.
I love that.
So who wants to go first? It's very simple. You try to identify the song as early on as possible.
Could you do it? Could you intro the first one with a classic deep voice, like one of those classic oldies radio announcers?
Have you heard that these guys are saying, the morning guys especially, are saying good morning at the end of a post?
No, can you
hit me
with what?
It's 8:17, 17 minutes after 8, here's Nickelback, good morning.
Oh man, that's too
it's
much.
So brutal.
I like the over-the-top, simplistic references, like, hope the coffee's not too hot for you this morning.
And the laugher. I don't understand who can laugh. Like,
here comes some Doobie Brothers. Hope the coffee's not too hot.
I've started over laugh pensating. When people say lame jokes, I come aboard laugh so hard. It's startling. Say a lame joke and I'll do what I've been doing lately.
Okay. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Amos.
Amos who?
A mosquito bit me. Wow. You get full maniacal.
It makes
and the
you
guy
lightheaded.
Just believe.
Yeah.
He'll never ask again.
But it's the laugh triggers, like the people that want to laugh at the end of their sentences to let you know it's okay to laugh and you're supposed to because what they're saying is funny.
Oh, that's awesome. So let's play some Canadies.
All right, who's going first? Hey, can I ask you one thing?
What?
Did you drill down and go obscure, or are these songs that people have heard before?
These are definitely songs people have heard before from the 80s, late 80s.
So hits.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, yep. Here comes my first one. See how quickly you can identify it.
Okay.
Stand by. Guesses?
It was a little difficult to hear. It sounded like some heavy duty rock.
Okay, let's try this. I'm gonna let it play. I had two jobs, I
dishwater hands, and on the the Northern Pikes.
What's the track called?
She Ain't Pretty.
Yeah, atta boy.
There you go.
You plucked that right out of the sky nice and early. I like it.
Well, That's a Can Rock staple.
It's a good jam.
Well, I don't know about that, but it's on a lot.
You don't think it's a good jam?
No. We do this every other week where it's like you'll say it and I'll be like, nah. Like if it's on the radio in the car, I'm changing the channel. Sorry.
Really?
No offense. I appreciate the sometimes I'll leave something on. If I have never heard it since like 1985 or something, but if I've heard it enough, I am changing it.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a little bit of a tough room when it comes to driving.
I don't know who you are anymore.
I'm sorry, but
all right,
you'll rock
so it's
out
one
to
nothing.
This one.
Hit
you'll...
go.
Okay, here comes mine. You ready?
Yep.
Starts off video here. Has a I'll give you a hint. Got roadies with no shirts on putting amps up.
Oh, it's good already.
Drums together. One, two, three. A little bit of laughter.
Lee Aaron. What you do to my body, Lee Aaron. Amazing. She was...
this video is just classic, man. It's
like there were two types of guys in the world. Guys that like the Samantha Fox and guys that like Lee Aaron.
Oh man, that video is like, if you want to see classic example of late 80s, that is it. The shirts, the hairdos, the covering of the possible bald spots.
Aww.
It's being done. Good stuff, though.
That was great stuff and super Canadian. And she, I don't know if she ever really got her due, did she?
That was pretty popular, man. I think she did. That was some popular stuff right there. I remember that was all over the Much Music right there.
Yeah, I bet it was.
Okay, right. Hit me with yours.
Here, I'm going to hit you with my next best shot. Here it comes. Drop the needle! Do you need any more than that?
Is that Drop the Needle by Harum Scarum?
No, close.
Or sorry, the other East Coast rock band.
They're from my stomping grounds.
Yes. And I know the drummer, actually, Mark. I got the Harum Scarum in my head now. That name.
It starts with the same letter.
Yeah.
Same two letters.
I'm having a brain fart, man. It just happens to me with this stuff.
Maybe it's because Maestro Fresh West sampled the Drop the Needle.
Yeah, exactly. But like I said, I know the drummer. And for some reason, I can't think of the name.
Pre-chorus?
It's never good. What?
It's the pre-chorus. Here comes the chorus right here. Are you ready? 2, 3, 4. All right, settle in. Here it comes. Dance Desire by Haywire.
Haywire.
The pride of Prince Edward Island.
I wasn't going to get it. Was not going to get it.
Maybe if I'd gone with Bad Bad Boys, you would have known that one. Or their slow jam, The Buzz.
I'm so versed in that song, but that's another one I would definitely change on the radio.
See, I guess. It just depends if you're along for the, member.
But good guys, though, sure.
Super guys. Yeah, super guys.
Okay, my turn.
All right, hit me.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Here we go. Canadies.
Doug and the Slugs.
Yeah, there you go.
What? It's not making it work. What's the jam? Canada's Huey Lewis and the News.
Which is a another classic video with the playing roles and comedy.
I guess that's why I said Canada's Huey Lewis and the News, because they always had comedic videos, too.
Yeah, for sure. And the singer was always very campy with the role. It was always about some woman and him getting shut down, always blowing himself up all over the place.
Some guy in linen pants.
Well, right now he's
Hawaiian
in a suit.
Shirts.
He looks like if Sean Cullen lost some weight.
Really?
A little bit.
And Doug's not with us anymore, right?
No, he's not. I don't think he is. But Sean Cullen is, so.
And whatever became of the Slugs?
I don't know. I hope that they're doing all right. One of those kind of things.
All right, I'm going straight cheese.
Hit me.
And they were kind of, I would have said one hit wonders, but it turns out they actually had a few singles. If you can pull this out of the air, and I don't know, I'm not optimistic, but I had to go for it. Take a listen.
Okay.
Love of my life.
Oh!
I don't have a lot to give you.
Is that Frozen Ghost?
Wow, yeah.
Love of my life.
Yeah. It's called Dream Come True.
Dream Come True, that's right.
Pictures of his folks on their wedding day. It screams of, we should write a song that people will want to play at their weddings.
And I do believe that's like the all-time number one wedding song from like 19, whatever that came out to like, whatever, 2000, maybe still.
Especially when the electric kicks in. Like, this is 12-string town. Hang on, it's about to get wound up.
12-string town.
Only my dream come true.
Here it comes. Is there another verse? Oh, there's another verse. Let me jump ahead to the rock part. Okay. Hang on. Oh, here
I
we
think
go.
This is still building. Like probably the go-to at a Saturday night wedding in Goodridge.
Big time. In fact, they might even play at the wedding, Frozen Ghost. Here comes. Yeah, there you go.
It's like a sunset, Jonathan.
Here's something I've always wondered. If you're a drummer and the first buck 50 of the song is kind of acoustic, what do you do?
Well, in that position, you have a dart. Yeah. But since I don't smoke, I would just twiddle my thumbs.
Really? Did you ever space out and miss your cue?
One time, back when I was in OLP, the song 4 AM has that kind of thing, like a long break. And I remember we were playing in Ottawa, and it was like the last show of the tour, and it was that the Carell Center at the time, that arena. And I was in a werewolf costume.
No.
Because it was like the last show. Yeah, last night of the show, I was in this werewolf costume. And I had to take a piss. So the song started, and I ran, and I went to the can. But I went the other way when I got out of the can. And literally, like, I was like, man, I'm going to be late. And I looked and to see how close I was to the stage. And I looked to the closest alley. And I looked out and I see him completely at the other side. And I see the band, like, way about the other side of the thing. And,
no.
And, like, halfway through the song. So I'm booking it around the whole arena and running back. And I don't even know if I made it to the end of the song. I can't remember.
So would they be mad?
Well, at the time, I was pretty banged up, and it was the last night of the tour, so
you thought it was
whatever.
Funny.
Yeah, chalk it up to shit happens.
That
it's still
must
pretty
make
funny.
You feel terrible.
Well, I was pretty banged up, and I had to piss because I drank about 7 beers. Whatevs, salad.
Whatevs, bud. Hey, whose turn is it?
What's that?
Is it your turn?
It's my turn, yes. I will get you your next Canadies track. This is one of my personal favorites. It's just too good not to do here.
Hit me.
You ready?
Yep.
Or dancing.
The video has the big...
Smooth, Strange Animal Gowan.
You got it!
Yeah.
Is this one of your faves?
No, but he does have kind of a unique sound. He's the singer for Styx now.
He is.
When Dennis DeYoung hopped off after the success of the Desert Moon solo effort, Gowan became the lead singer for Styx. But they still take 12 minutes a night to do Criminal Mind.
Yeah, and occasionally he may open for them as Gowan.
No.
I don't know, maybe. I do see him from time to time in the old Aeroplan lounges.
You can call me Larry. Just call me Larry.
The name of his... He had an album called You Can Call Me Larry.
So what happened... Like, how much does Larry make as the new lead singer of Styx? Like, how much does that Arnold guy make as the new lead singer of Journey? What's the business arrangement?
Those are two very different situations. I would think that... Gowan probably gets some kind of a cut, and they do well. I'm sure he does very well singing. But the Journey thing, on the other hand, we're talking about our boy guitar player, Neil Sean, who kind of runs the show there, and he's a bit of a hardcore man. If you take a look at his, Google him up, he actually married that blonde woman who was always... Remember she was crashing all those high-end parties, the political parties?
No, did he?
Remember? Yes, yes. He ended up marrying her.
Like
so
Fiona
kind of
Ratface Wallace or something? She had one of those names.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's that. That's the kind of company he likes to keep. So he's a pretty hardcore dude. I would assume that maybe that guy is like... put in a room and they lock him up at the end of the night.
Right. Well, he was fronting a Journey cover band, so he's probably happy with $350 a night and a couple of Bud Lights.
Water and towels at the, yeah. and your room at That's the back of the bus.
And he has to clean up the bus. All right, take a listen to this one. Here's more Canadianity. It's a good riff. All right, here we go. No? Everyone just drives me
crazy. I'm kind of lost on this one.
It's a little obscure, I guess. Paul Jans. Every little tear.
Yeah, this is... Yeah, I think it's kind of familiar, but again, that's deep.
We have to ride it out till the chorus because it's a good time. It's worth it.
Yeah, that's when I'll probably recognize it most.
Here you go, bud. No? Paul Jans, Every Little Tear.
I know Paul Jans. A little bit, but and that's probably a big hit of his. But boy, oh boy, I just can't really remember it.
Drawing a blank on that one, eh, bud?
I would call that lucky.
All right, hit me with one more. Do you have one more?
I do. I can hit you with one more for sure. Let me get her dialed in. This is Canadies. This would be my pick for you. I guess this is my fourth, right? Here.
I guess so.
Here we go. You ready for this?
Hit me.
Okay, it's loading, and of course.
Are you sitting comfortably?
Platinum Blonde.
Then we'll begin. Oh man!
Crying over you, nice.
I love how you know it from the video.
Are you sitting comfortably? I'm with my friend Mark Hallett. We're walking around Sherwood PEI with a ghetto blaster over our shoulder, blasting Platinum Blonde.
Don't I'd go come see to Platinum me with Blonde. Your problems, Torrance.
They're touring now. I'd go see them. All right, I'll see your Platinum Blonde, and I'll raise you a this.
What's that?
I said, I'll see your Platinum Blonde, and I'll raise you a this.
Okay, hit me. That like Barney Bentall?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Way to dig deep. Got something to live for. It's a great jam.
Yeah, there you go. That is definitely okay, hold on. I'm gonna hit you with this one here.
Alright.
This is like kind of a little more big time Canadianity.
Okay.
In a sense. This is has some CanCon involved. So fucking cheesy, though. All the tears you cry, they call my name. And when
is it the Whitesnake dude?
It's Baz, bud.
Oh, is it?
It's Baz, bud.
Oh, I feel bad. I should know that.
You work with Baz, bud.
Do you know what? I've never met Baz.
Oh, you didn't?
No, our paths have never crossed, but that is still inexcusable. I should know it.
Skid Row, remember you.
Does Skid Row count as CanCon?
I'm sure it would at some level.
Crazy. Yep. All right, I'm going to hit you with one more.
Okay. But I'm going to hit you with a quick Baz story first.
Okay, hit me.
Yeah, we when we did the Van Halen tour back in the OLP days in 95, Skid Row were on like a few of the shows. And one day when we were just sitting in the dressing room getting ready for the show during the day or whatever before sound check, we kind of heard him rolling in, and he was like, just kind of, we heard from outside the room that he was gonna, he just says, "Sounds like some Toronto boys."
No.
Yeah, man, like the classic. He was just, and that was back kind of when he was, you know, on top of the world a little bit.
Aww.
So he had like the, you know, like the look to me, like the porno wife and all the, you know, the entourage and all that kind of
stuff. Okay, but let's break that down a minute. Do you think he knew you guys were from Toronto, so that was his, like, opening volley? Or do you think he actually heard you say something and recognized your accent? Like, where is that coming from?
He knew that we were from Toronto, and the door was shut. Like, it was like, that was it.
Right.
There was no, like, opening the door and how's it going? It was just, "Sounds like some Toronto boys!"
And that's all you ever got?
That was pretty much it, yeah.
Okay, this one's a little high concept. Because a lot of the videos that we've played are like funny dudes in like linen pants hitting on girls, as we said. Yeah. This one was maybe, it wins the award for the most effort that went into a music video.
Okay.
Certainly the longest shoot. Take a listen to this.
Oh, yes. Phil Collins, "Take Me Home." This is his video. This is the one where he's like all over the world, right?
Yeah, they shoot like one line in front of like the Eiffel Tower, the Taj Mahal, somewhere in Japan, the Great Wall of China.
imagine he's every day he's shooting the same video, like maybe once or twice, even if it's once. He's going around the world, right? So imagine like day three when he's in like Tokyo.
Well, I think he was super banged up, if you believe what you read. And they'd like have to wake him up and get him out of bed and stand him in front of the Statue of Liberty for three words. Phil, sorry, bud. Hate to bother you. We're going to have to just bang out that "Take Me Home" for the video. Oh, yeah. Thanks.
Okay. So we're done, right? No, we're going to Australia tomorrow.
We have 52 more locations. There he is doing...
keep her going one more day.
He's throwing a snowball at the lands in Central Park. Now he's in Sydney Harbour. And the best part is, he keeps saying, "I don't mind." But you can kind of tell in his face, he does mind. Here comes.
Totally mind. He's just getting more and more miserable by the end
of the
shoot.
Looks like Charlie Brown. All right, listen, here it comes. Oh, come on, Phil.
No, one more time. He doesn't mind.
Guys, let's tread water for another couple bars because we have three more locations to cram into this video. All right, here it comes.
She loves this line. Doesn't remember anything because he just drank 36 beers and he's sick and tired of being in India again for the 14th time in his life.
I'm going to ask you a question, and it's a simple yes or no question, and I just need you to be straight.
What?
Does Phil Collins suck?
No, not at all.
As a drummer, does he suck?
No, he's a great drummer, actually.
Because remember last year when he announced that he had some kind of... like it was the gout issue. Or something, yeah, or a back issue, and he couldn't drum anymore. Yeah. And so he announced his retirement, and the world was like, "Hang on, Phil Collins, we retired from you 20 years ago." And there was this anti-Phil Collins backlash. I love Genesis till they got into the land of confusion puppet stuff.
Well, the thing is like, you know, you got to give the guy props for being a killer drummer. Like, he did some amazing stuff with a band called Brand X, which was before.
Yeah.
Genesis, it's like total, you know, prog rock. And some of those, you like you said, the early Genesis records are really amazing. Some awesome drumming on there, especially. And, you know, the fact that he just had the jam to just try out on the vocals and then take him to a whole new level and make him like a stadium act. And then doing it on his own, you know, it was pretty impressive, but I can understand where it's kind of got weird when he just started doing pop music, you know what I mean? Like in all the Disney stuff.
And Groovy Kind of Love and Two Hearts Living in Just One Mind.
My mom actually had a car accident with Groovy Kind of Love on, like during the car accident. Like she was trying to turn it off and then got in a car accident. And she has this distaste for that song that's beyond what you could have
right.
for a song, because it's like, oh, yeah, that's the song that I tried to get off and then fucking got in a car wreck and the car is destroyed and I fucking had to deal with that, too. And now the song's... It was still on the song, like, after the smash.
Brutal.
So it's like you're, like, standing and sitting in the car and it's all... Car's crushed, all crushed from the back and the song's just blasting. You got a groovy kind of love...
At 80 dBs while she's trying to give a statement to the...
Yeah, probably just cranked it from the impact.
Craziest story like that I've ever heard. My friend Lynn was pregnant and driving in Toronto. She looked up at a billboard for the David Cronenberg movie Crash, which, as I recall, has to do with a pregnant woman getting in a car accident. And just as she's looking at the billboard, she gets rear-ended from behind.
No.
Which is nuts. The driver of the vehicle behind her gets out and approaches the window to say, are you okay? It was David Cronenberg.
No, yes. Get out of here.
Yes.
Come on. Oh my God. He's going back. He's still like, we got to go to three more countries. This is when you thought you were done.
Phil, we're only at the bridge. We're only at the first bridge.
He probably got like rap parties in like three of the cities.
Yeah. Sorry,
Phil. We're going to go one more, mate. We're going one more, mate.
Am I all done, guys? Yeah. Thanks. Thanks, yeah.
Thanks with the big F.
So, Phil, we just need you to say, it's real simple. We just need you to say, take me home. Because I don't remember. Oh, yeah, thanks. Thanks, guys. Thanks.
Gotta do Miami Vice after this shoot.
Oh, yeah, he did in the air tonight.
Yeah, I remember. Gonna be the best bully they ever had.
The Phil Collins debate can be similarly argued in the case of Sting and the Police. I thought the Police were great. But I kind of inherited my musical taste from my older siblings. I always thought Stuart Copeland was an incredible drummer and the Police were great. My friend Rob would argue that Sting's solo work is so lame, it retroactively calls into question whether the Police could ever have been cool.
That's close. I kind of could side with that.
You don't think Stuart Copeland's an incredible drummer?
I think he's an amazing drummer, but I think just... Sting has kind of devalued the stock by just going so far and being so cheesy on his own right.
He kind of lost me when he did the soundtrack for The Living Sea. And he kind of lost me
when I heard he has dinner at a huge table and sits in a big, huge, like, throne.
No.
Yes.
Can you pass the asparagus? Thanks.
Kind of lost me when it's like, I heard someone went to his house for dinner and like he makes you sit on the other end in a little chair and he's at a throne like 80 feet away at this table and there's no one else.
That's where he lost me. Can you pass the kale chips? Thanks.
Do you like the sirloin?
You think that's what Sting's serving at his house, sirloin?
Have you tried the Brussels sprouts? All far away.
So I don't remember Sting on Only Fools and Horses, the sitcom.
And then I heard a story where the kid, like someone I know, like spoke to the one of the kids when they were young as kids, and the kid was like, "Fuck off!"
No,
like total brat.
No.
Yeah, man. Classic.
He lives in a castle, doesn't he?
Yeah, man. I'm telling you. Yeah, the whole deal. And full on.
Trudy, what's her name?
Yeah, he's probably got like huge paintings of himself. Yeah, man. That's just too much. I think we got to take a break and then wrap this whole thing up, eh?
I'm having so much fun, but I think you're right.
Yeah, let's be right back. Take a quick break and then wrap her up.
All right, bud.
Tidy's calling you Studley.
Wasn't this that Audi commercial?
It's just like, it's so opulent, that vocal, that melody.
It's so lush.
It's just like, it's like Dubai styles.
Like,
let's bring in a bunch of water just because.
Can you keep it down? I'm recording, thanks. Fuck off!
Would you like some egg and beans? Fuck off! You're not my mom! Would you like to play with some of these? Would you like to play with some of these toys, Raymond? Go fuck yourself!
Why are his kids so angry?
I don't know.
Oh, it's a lush vocal indeed. Horses dancing in the desert.
That was a great time this week, Jonathan.
My wife tried to entice me to go to a thing called Cavalia once, which is like horses dancing to music like that.
Oh, really?
And her big trump card was, look, the horses dance to Cotton Eye Joe. That was her big, see? So
that was the hook.
So we have to go. How does Cotton Eye Joe go?
What?
Did you say, how does Cotton Eye
Joe
go?
No, I said that's just classic. That's over the top, but funny. Yeah. Yeah. No, I know Cotton. I'm well versed with Cotton Eye Joe.
Well, why?
Well, because of hockey. Isn't it just come on all the time everywhere? But I'd been for Cotton Eye Joe. It's so annoying. It's like, where did you come from? Where did you go? I just see a guy in the stands that excites.
Some guy with his face painted and his chest bare?
Yeah, for sure.
Someone who's like, with a beer helmet?
Yeah, someone who's at the game just to be seen, not to watch it.
Doing the 1 foot stamp.
Standing up, getting in front of the guy in front of him.
All right, bud. Good talking to you this week.
Great talking to you. Talk to you next week, bud.
Peace out. I'm going to let Cotton Eye Joe take us home.
Okay, that's great.
Ugh.